Welcome to Good Medicine is Cheaper Medicine. I'm Shelley Wrench, along with Dr. Nash Gabriel of the Gabriel Cancer Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I want to put our producer on the spot. I always like to know, you know, what's in the heads of the public about healthcare. So I want to ask you, what is it that's a burning question in your mind about healthcare?
Well, the thing that's always interesting to me is, why are certain prescriptions more expensive than others? And why is it that prescriptions seem to go up by the year?
Are you talking about why are some drugs more expensive than others, or why is there a disparity in the cost between different pharmacies and institutions?
I think more the second part
one.
Of that.
You just opened up a whole can of worms.
I think that's good, though. Isn't that what you wanted?
Yeah, I tell you what. Yeah. To be fair, I'll give you some examples of disparity. A friend of mine, actually my brother, decided to buy a BMW, the expensive one, 523, whatever it is. Well, he's a dual citizen, Canadian and American citizen. He decided to go to Canada and bought that car. Saved him about $15,000 because of the difference in the value of the Canadian dollar.
Wow.
So disparity there is there. I mean, if you want to buy a Ferrari, no. If you just buy a cheap car like Range Rover, cheap car, right? If you buy it here or Cleveland, and if you buy it in New York City, like Manhattan, I would expect that you pay more money in Manhattan. Why? Because it's Manhattan, very expensive real estate, and very costly standard of living, and so on and so forth. So there is a disparity that is justified. But I think what the producer is talking about is something more fundamental, that even within Canton, there is a huge disparity, and the standard of living or the value of the dollar doesn't apply. There is something, shall I say, mischievous.
Oh, there's a lot of mischievous things going on.
I'm trying to be nice, but there is some mischief in the pricing of drugs. Again, we're not talking about the pricing by a drug company. He's saying the same drug company, the producer is saying, the same drug company produced the same drug, yet a good example is when I buy my blood pressure pills, when I go through a regular pharmacy, I pay $220. When I get it through our in-house dispensing, I pay $33. Same pill, same manufacturer, same bottle, same. Why is it? Shelley, any input?
Well, there's another example I wanted to bring up too. A atorvastatin. You know, it's a generic for Lipitor.
Yes.
So if anybody can do this. If you go to goodrx.com, you can see what's the cost for each pharmacy. So say, for example, I happen to do one just to put out an example. And with the generic, the Giant Eagle Pharmacy is $19.99 for a 90-day script.
That's public
That's
knowledge?
That's public knowledge. Now, it goes down through, it's Costco, Walmart, Kmart, Rite Aid, Target, Walgreens. CVS is the highest, $39.80.
Oh, because they have a nicer building?
There's a lot more mischief there. I think
are they the highest? It's because they have power of preferential contracting, basically a monopoly.
Yes.
And that would explain most of the question. Shelley, this information available to the public?
It's goodrx.com.
Anybody can go there?
Anybody can do it.
Really?
Now listen to this, though. But if you do a mail order prescription, it's $10.80 for 90 days prescription.
And the price you quote was for how many days?
All of them for 90 days. But if its lowest goes from $19.99 to CVS $39.90. But if you do a mail order prescription through mailmyprescriptions.com, it's $10.80. Now, with our pharmacy, we have a retail pharmacy as well. We post our published rates. The same exact Lipitor generic is $12.
90 days.
Right. One of the things of being despaired, the causes of disparity, is a lot of times generics are not on the formulary. So say, for example, someone comes up with a prescription with Lipitor and it's dispenses written or even not. If the insurance, the TPA on the back end, if the insurance company says that we will only pay for brand and not for generic, which we've come up against that quite a few times.
The insurance company insists that they pay only for brand, not generic?
Had that happen last week.
Hold on a second. I thought the insurance companies, they want to save money. The brand name generally is about 10 times more expensive than the... Why would they do that?
Well, just in a case last week, we had...
Charlie, answer my question. This is a dumb thing that they do.
Because they get rebates on the... They get rebates
on
the...
Oh, because they get rebates. So basically, they make the employer pay more money because... They meaning the...
Or the patient. The patient who's getting...
The pharmacy or the PBM, they make... Oh, my gosh. So that because they get rebate, that's almost like bribe.
It happened to one of our patients last week with Gleevec. Gleevec is $10,000 for brand, $400 and some for generic. We had two patients start with Gleevec last week. One of them, the insurance company mandated that we had to use brand name.
I tell you what, Shelley, honestly, and the producer also should know, I don't blame these twisted behavior, people with twisted behavior. Yeah, their behavior is twisted. You can call it immoral. You can call it unethical. You can call it whatever. But that's something between them and God when they die. What I think the problem is with the customer. Again, individual responsibility. The employer who agreed, the employer who was gullible, and can I use that word, gullible? Is that a polite enough word to be used on the radio?
Assuming that the insurance is through an employer-based...
I don't care. I don't care, Shelley. Healthcare cost is now consuming a big portion of the gross income nationally and for businesses. And most of the businesses are becoming shrewd. In the old days, when you wanted to get rid of somebody in your company, you make them director of human resources. Yes.
Very true.
It was the way that... because it was a no-brainer job. Now, in some companies,
that is
the right hand of the CEO. Because they handle this because it's becoming the human resources, meaning the benefits are becoming fundamental. But the rest of the people, employers, when they buy into these plans, it's their duty to look into these things. And if I was an employer and if my employee will say, I really wanted the generic and they insisted on the brand name and that will, I'll pay more, I will say to that PBM,
out.
30 days notice. Out. I don't want to deal with you. And actually, I will not pay you these 30 days because you are twisted.
Right.
Because, of course, it's more twisted than that. The PBM, the pharmacy benefit plan, the one who prefers the brand name over generic because of the rebate, they also tell the employer, you will share part of the rebate. Meaning they pay them part of the rebate.
They promise. They promise, but they never come through.
So basically, they're telling them, you spend $10,000 instead of $1,000. You spend $10,000, but guess what? You will get $500 rebate. Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, sure.
It's so gullible, isn't it? So they're just spending more. They're spending more because they are being promised rebates. And actually, a lot of the times, those rebates don't materialize into what they think they should be.
I was going to say, another thing that was interesting to me is a medication that I'm on for anti-anxiety, sertraline. When I get it through one form of a pharmacy in a certain dosage, it comes out as one price, whereas I get it in another dosage, it comes out at a completely different price that's completely lower, and it's actually more expensive for the smaller dosage. Why is
Shelley,
that?
Shelley, you've seen this before, right? Shelley, I think, Shelley's off the phone. Yeah.
No. I had a cough on that one. You had me all choked up. No.
There's truth to that.
Yeah. And in fact, it happens. When we first opened up our retail pharmacy, even our in-house dispensary, and we would adjudicate claims, it was fascinating. Well, even before that, I was trying to get like a fee schedule. So what would the cost be for sertraline, right? For a patient with this insurance? Every insurance company looked at me like I had three heads. Like, there are no fee schedules, honey. Get over it. And then once we started adjudicating, then I started realizing I would adjudicate your prescription at 10 o'clock on a Monday morning, and if it didn't look right for you, you had a high copay or whatever, we'd wait until 2 o'clock in the afternoon and re-adjudicate. Totally different numbers. So you explain to me, like, what happens in the background? I mean, it's nuts. And the first couple of times that we saw that, it's like, well, if we don't like it, just run it again.
Well, there is a similar analogy, although it's with the airlines. when you go and look into a flight from here to Orlando, wherever, and Shelley, you have experience with this.
Oh, yeah. I was a travel agent.
And
I saw
you look, and you look at that flight and the return and the cost, and then you sign off. You go back and sign off again. All of a sudden, the price has gone up.
Oh,
the minutes.
Big time. They have
use a different computer.
Yeah, if it tracks your IP address. So once I go on and I try to find that airline, it might be $250, and I say, well, maybe I'll look at another airline or come back like a couple hours later. I log in and it's now $600.
How come that medication though in the morning becomes more expensive than in the afternoon? What happens over the course
of
time?
What happened? And these are the fundamental ailments we have in society. You just brought another example. A lower dose pill is more expensive than a higher dose pill. Now remember, let's say Xanax. There's 0.25 milligram, there's 0.5 milligram, there's 1 milligram, and so on. And you're telling me that, and I believe you, that sometimes that a drug like Xanax, like 0.25, would be more expensive than 0.5, which means if 0.25 doesn't work, you take two of them, you are quadrupling the price. Does that make sense? This is only one example. I'm going to tell you what. These are things that I don't even want to talk about because people will think that you have four heads. People think that you are that honestly that this is way it's way too outrageous, but it is. It happens every single minute, every single day. And I have seen for the last 12 years, that's why I wrote a book about it, despite the fact that I'm very busy treating cancer patients. I still took the time to write the book because it's outrageous and it has become more outrageous. Good news is there is awakening. The other good news is I had to bring politics into it. There is now people in Medicare and the White House who know these problems and actually they want to tackle them. But guess what? It's not easy because all these policies, all these PBMs and so on are almost like the Carleon family, you know, the godfather. They are all in cahoots with each other and they have their tentacles in the government, in the Congress, in the Senate. And to fight that, but even by the president, he can get his hand slapped because these people are big contributors to campaigns. The whole system. And again, this is the way we live. This is our society. This is our republic. The solution is we take responsibility, like you did. You see that the lower dose drug is more expensive. Okay, I will buy the less expensive, bigger dose and split the pill in half. Simple. Or do something like that. Or your insurance, the people who are paying your premium, they need to know this. And that's one area where employers, they actually need to start listening to their employees. Because every single employee has a message, has a story. They need to listen to those stories and go to the PBM or to the insurance company or the consultants. What are you doing, guys?
Yeah, well, not only that, they are starting to get more data. They're asking for that list of whatever our highest spends in medications. They are getting better at that. You know, going back to the American patients first, that's what Trump is out there to try to reduce the cost of medications. People are a little bit upset because we know he's a disruptor. And his American patients first, when it comes to the cost of medications, people are a little bit worried or upset that he's not being totally disruptive. It's kind of like he's just chomping at little pieces, little components, which tells me.
What's this, the Americans first?
The American patients first. There's quite a few points to it, but the biggest ones are like lifting that gag rule, like I've talked about before. The gag rule is say, for example, you walk in and have your sertraline prescription in hand, and on the pharmacist side, they run it and they see that through your insurance company or through your insurance card, it's going to cost $100 to you, right? And if you pay cash, it's only going to be $50. They won't tell you that. They can't tell you that. That's called the gag rule. So now part of Trump's plan is to, in fact, it started effective January 1st. I double checked this morning. It's January 1st. It's in effect. Now patients are empowered. They are allowed to ask, what if I pay cash for this? So now they can tell you that it's $50 instead of the $100. Another thing is and we've talked about this before, is the putting the cost of the medication as that medication in the ads on TV. All television ads, unless it's under 15, I think it's $15, will have to have the cost of the medications. That's another thing that he's introduced.
Actually, let me make a comment. Both the president and many congressmen and senators, especially Democrats, are saying that the evil in the world is drug companies. You and I have been in this business for decades. Yes, drugs are getting more expensive. But more expensive has become the middlemen involved in the delivery of the drug between the factory and the patient.
Right.
There is no doubt that the persons who actually are helping patients are the guys who, or the girls, ladies, who actually invent the drugs and make the drugs. The middlemen, they are providing a service. Some of it is useful, but they are
augmenting. But they're just delivering. They're not creating it.
In our system, in the previous episode, or one of the previous episodes, we talked about the on-site clinic, how we eliminated the middlemen. Now we get the drug from manufacturer to the patient direct, and no middlemen and no markup. We actually give the invoice to the employer so that they pay exactly what the drug cost is from the manufacturer.
It's such a cleaner system.
So to blame drug companies alone for the high cost, I think is kind of disingenuous. And I think
President,
insurance companies and the pharmacy benefit plans and their consultants are the ones. This is a distraction. It's a deflection. Deflection has become a very powerful political weapon. Look at this. There is more evidence that Hillary Clinton collaborated with the Russians against Trump than the other way around. Yet, was this the shrewd thing to do? It's attack and say, no, he did this. It's a deflection. The same thing. Insurance companies and PBMs are deflecting. They are blaming, drug companies, they have very expensive drugs. Well, look at the insurance companies. Why do they then favor expensive brand names over generic? Because, as you said, Shelley, because they have humongous rebates.
Yeah, and two examples a couple of weeks ago, one was albuterol, which we use in the cancer center,
yes.
Right? It costs 12 cents. They denied it. They said they would not allow albuterol, point blank. Another one is Zofran for nausea. A cancer patient has nausea. Zofran, 8 cents. They denied it. They said you had to use something else other than Zofran.
More expensive.
Yes.
Do the people know? I mean, people probably, Shelley, you and I used to think that insurance companies should be our partners in lowering cost until we started realizing that they actually work on margin, and now we also know that the rebates is becoming. Can you imagine the insurance companies get rebate from drug companies for using expensive drugs? This is almost unbelievable, but it happens. That's okay. It's all free market, and we all believe in the free market. That's why we are in the U.S. But we also believe that individuals have to be responsible if they want to protect themselves. And by that I meant, not only the individuals like the producer, but the individuals mean the employer who pays. They need to open their eyes and they need to stop listening to their consultants who are also part of the rebate equation.
Right. Now, you do know.
People are making monies out of that.
You do know that there is a bill that was just dropped by Bernie Sanders and Elijah Cummings to allow people in the U.S. to buy medications from Canada.
Yes.
And also, there's another one that was dropped by Grassley and Globotrack.
Charlie, to be honest with you, I sympathize with that. You know what my concern is about being able... You go and buy a BMW like my brother did from Canada. A BMW is BMW, the serial number, blah, 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 all that stuff. You cannot fake a BMW. Can you?
No, there's a lot you can fake, but not a BMW.
In the old days, you can maybe fool around with the mileage. But now, being electronic, you even cannot do that. With the drugs, if we open the door that patients or even us can buy drugs from Canada, what's next? Australia. Next? Now you're coming close now to Bangladesh, to India. How safe should I feel that my patients, I give them a prescription and they are buying their drugs in the company made in India or Afghanistan, Romania. I'm not being down. I mean, I'm not being facetious about these countries. Fact is, they are poor countries. They don't have the checks and balances that we have. They don't have the strict oversight that we have. How can we trust? So that's not a solution. It's amazing that's coming from Bernie Sanders, that he believes the socialists will not believe in the free market. I think we have to be careful. Now, if we restricted that we only can get it from Canada and England and Australia and so on, and Japan, that's fine. Problem with that one is, how can we control that the Canadians will not buy a cheaper brand? Do you know when Viagra was not generic? In Egypt, you can buy a Viagra for $1 a piece. In those days, in the U.S., it was $20 a piece.
How do you know the pedigree?
And how do you know it was Viagra? And you know, some of these drugs work like a placebo, right?
Yeah, that one is Viagra, something you can take. Viagra
and it works. These are problems. Would anybody trust buying that drug from Egypt? The answer is no.
But it would be by patient's choice, by the public's choice. Like, they can buy it themselves. And his bill does include other countries. It's for patients to buy. So if you don't feel comfortable and you don't want to do it, you don't have to partake.
Again, I'm talking like a physician and also interested in national policy. Is Mr. Sanders, Senator Sanders, is he trying to protect patients? If he is, there has to be some very strict checks and balances to make sure that what patients buy from Canada, although the patient makes the choice to buy from Canada, we want to make sure that, as you said, Shelley, the pedigree is legit. That, remember, when people make generic drugs, the FDA is still
has a heavy hand
samples,
on it. Oh, yeah.
Take frequent samples, we call them aliquots, samples, and at no notice, and make sure that the concentration of the drug in the pill or in the liquid is at least 90% of the reference value. We have to do that. Otherwise, if we say, well, the patients are responsible, then shut up being a politician and trying to protect patients and just go and do whatever you're doing. Go for another campaign. I'm sorry to say shut up to him, but it is. I don't think that's a responsible thing. When we know, see, this is all politics. Drug companies don't give as much money to campaigns as insurance companies do. So nobody's talking about the insurance companies. The PBMs are extremely powerful. President Trump mentioned that more than once, that they have very unusual behavior, but they're putting a lot of money in campaigns. So who's the underdog now? The people who don't give a lot of money to people like Bernie Sanders. Believe me, if they put some money into his campaign, he will shut up. He will not make the comments he's making.
Do you think that's why President Trump and his Americans First proposal is not being too disruptive like he normally does?
I think he's still very disruptive. What concerned me the most is that he's so disruptive and so real factual about things that the establishment, and that establishment meaning the lobbyists, because they control the show, they want him out at all costs. Remember, these people, they are really not after. I mean, look at the guy has lower unemployment for blacks and whites and Hispanics and Jews, everybody. Lower employment, the economy is really heating up, and yet they want him out. Just think about it. Why? Oh, we don't like his style. Really? Since when they care about style? It is because he's disrupting the way business is done. The PBMs will be very upset if there is restriction on them. And they will fight it. And guess how they fight it? By the Russia collision. Yes, his tweets are not nice. It goes on and on and on. Unfortunately, majority of people are not really astute to the facts because the society has been brainwashed. And you know what? People pay price for that, and deservingly so.
So
elections have consequences.
Yeah. So coming back to our producer's question, how can we along with what's already going on in the government, how can we help people, empower people to make smart choices and to ask questions, and how do we get this?
You said, how can we empower people? The people are empowered by the Constitution and also are empowered by the money they spend. How can you empower employers? Well, just open your eyes and wake up, man. Wake up and listen. Just stop listening to the people who have vested interest in raising your cost. Three layers of consultants. Really? Why do you have three layers of consultants? Obviously, you don't trust one or two of them, right? Why don't you open your eyes? And they are. Some of them are. Open your eyes and look around and see. In fact, go and talk to your employer like I do with my employees. And go and chat with them. Hey, how is this going? What's the problem here? Why don't they go and talk to them? In fact, they don't have to talk to them. They just can look at their spreadsheets.
Yeah. I don't know.
We can't spoon-feed people, Shelley.
No. But at least it's to ask. Like negotiate like you do with a car. I mean, we're in the midst of negotiating with buying a new car, right?
Yes.
So why don't we do the same thing with the medications? Like, would you feel empowered to, like, just ask at the pharmacy, hey, what can I do to make this less, right? Wouldn't it be something that, say, for example, it might be a generic or a brand name, and you can say, is this a generic version? Or would you feel comfortable in doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always looking for options as to how I can, I guess, reduce cost and whatever that comes to. And whenever I go to the pharmacy, I'm always open to asking questions. I think it's one of the best parts of it, that you should ask questions.
Have you ever seen in any pharmacy that today there is a sale 20% off?
No.
Only on diapers.
you get that on shoes. You get that on socks. You get them on toothbrush. You name it. Not on drugs. Why is it? Because the market forces that run the engine of a free market are not applicable to healthcare. And that was the comment I made in my book, Good Medicine, Cheaper Medicine, that healthcare is an island of socialism in the ocean of capitalism.
Well, Doc, I don't know about you. I was going to say, I mean, there was a guy with a top hat last time I went in there, and he was advertising like, hey, $20 off Xanax today. So I don't know what pharmacy you've been going to. But
oh, you've seen that?
No, I haven't.
We need that. Not necessarily the discount or sales, but we need a freer market. And again, we the people should enforce that, not government.
Agree.